if you take a copy of the bulletin with you, you'll be able to see what the full reading was. This is where I get to prove to our webmaster that I'm not exactly a full-throated Pentecostal, because I cannot quote the scripture that I'm about to preach on from memory. Okay? But I can quote to you what I want you all to hear today, and that is that you have, this is the story of John in the desert. It's done in all the Gospels. It's done in Matthew. It's done in Luke. It's done in Mark, where John is out in the desert, and he is in the process of baptizing folks. And part of what he's doing is, this is where that song, what was that stage play? Godspell. And it became an instant hit, was the song Prepare the Way of the Lord. And this was John's mantra to the people that were coming out to the desert, was to prepare the way of the Lord. And the other part of that was, he kept telling them to repent. Okay? Now, there's something interesting here. I want you to think about this. By the time we get the Gospels, okay, even the first Gospels are written 30 to 40 years after the fact, okay? And you've got John that the Gospels have decided to paint a picture of John as the prophet for Jesus, you know, laying out that way, and they take some of his stuff and they put it together. And so and later on we find out that John is what to Jesus? Anybody remember?
Brother?
Huh?
Brother?
No, cousin. Okay, because John is the result of Elizabeth being able to get pregnant after all the years of not getting pregnant. And about the same time that Mary becomes pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth was 6 months along with John. And so John is about 6 months older. And I read an interesting thing today that we don't get because of the way the Gospels set this up. Because the Gospels are so busy talking about John being the prophet, the one thing that we've never talked about is, remember we get the Christmas story of Jesus, and then he disappears till he's what? 12? And then he disappears after that till he's in his 30s? And then he shows up to John, right? And we go through that whole baptism thing. How about this, folks? Everybody has to have a mentor. Amen? And it occurs to me that that is probably who Jesus' mentor was John. They were within 6 months of each other. John had a very clear understanding of what was going on within the Jewish faith at that time. And that's what brings me to the point that I want you all to settle on. Because you all have been taught, and it's been preached over and over again, that this whole thing is a very dark thing, because John is calling them vipers and this and that and the other thing. And he's calling on them, and the word that we use even today is what? Repent. Okay? And we've turned repent into something like, if you're going to repent, it means that you've got to somehow sit there and talk about how, confess how evil you are and what a terrible person you are. But I want to put the points, the dots that I'm always so fond of telling you to do, I want you to put these dots together to connect them. You remember that one of my favorite stories in all of the Gospels is what? Jesus' story about the prodigal son. Amen?
Amen.
All right? And if you stay with me, and that John was Jesus' mentor, you're going to know now where that prodigal son story came from. Amen?
Amen?
Because in actuality, what John was probably saying to people out in the desert when he yelled at them to repent was more like what we might say today. Hey, stop! Come back!
Amen. Turn away from what's keeping you from
your relationship. You're off the path. Come back. And, you know, I wish that Matthew was here this morning. Maybe James at some point will find a way to testify about it. And I know that some of you have got that same thing. You know that your lives changed not when you fell on your knees and admitted what kind of sinner you were.
Wow.
Your life changed. And you began to get, and you're going to like how I tie this in, you began to feel peace when you did what? When you turned your focus back to God.
Wow.
And that was what John was trying to do. That, folks, is where we find peace. It is not in the Christmas presents. It's not in how much money you make. It is in that relationship that you have with God. And when you have a relationship with God, then peace just kind of settles in. You begin to think differently about the stuff that you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
We've got people that are out on that Christmas tree lot that for the first time in their life, I've heard at least three or four people out on that Christmas tree lot that have said at one time or another, you know, this service back to the community, and all of a sudden it clicked as to what my relationship with God is all about. All of a sudden it clicked. It doesn't matter, hello, whether I'm gay or straight. All of a sudden it doesn't matter whether I'm transgender or cis. What matters is that I've got a relationship with God. And that, for Advent, is a really important message. That's why we talk about that. I think that that's why the Gospels picked up on it, and we just kind of missed it, you know, because we were so interested in turning John into a prophet rather than the teacher that he actually was for Jesus, because later on, Jesus takes exactly what John said. Repent! Turn around, come back. And when he tells us the story about the prodigal son, what does the prodigal son do? He sits there and goes, you know what? I've really screwed this up. The people back home, the people that my father doesn't particularly care for, other than for the work they do, they've got it better than me. Maybe if I go back and ask for that relationship, it'll be cool. And I stood out in the parking lot yesterday with somebody that decided, I had just finished a premarital counseling with this gay couple, and this guy with his 9-year-old son saw our pins, and he saw these two guys, and he decided, how do I say this? You know how, like, there's white people who say some of my best friends are black? He wanted to make a point that he was an open Christian and gay people were okay with him. But it was an amazing conversation because it led up to, look, this is about relationship. He was talking about all kinds of stuff about, you know, it doesn't matter what people do in their, and I looked at him and I said, well, you know, it's really about relationship.
Right.
And the next thing we know, he went from a conversation where he was trying to make himself feel okay with gay people to the point that we had a really solid conversation about what it is to turn back to God. Folks, if this Christmas season you're struggling with the idea of grabbing a hold of that peace, if you listen to the vicar last week around that thing of hope and sit there and go, yeah, right, whatever, what hope? And now you got, this week we're supposedly talking about peace. Then hear what John is saying to you. That's how you've got hope. That's how you get peace, is when you hear that cry that's not about, hey, admit how dumb you are, admit how ugly you are or how bad you are, but hear the cry of God.
Amen.
That says, come back.
Right.
And by the way, if you decide to come back, I'm going to go more than halfway to meet you. Merry Christmas. God bless you.